Well, happy 7th anniversary, Elevate City Church. Man, great to see y'all and celebrate on this day. And man, I woke up early this morning. The first thing I told Bethany is, I said, 7 years ago today, it was like, I don't know, seven, six, whatever it was this morning. And I said, we were already at the school 7 years ago. We got up around 5 a.m. and we loaded the trailers. And there we were at the middle school by about seven. And so setting up, tearing down, sweating it out, and man, I'm glad that we're not in the school anymore. So we have so much to be thankful for. I want to welcome all those who are watching online as well with us today. Different ones of you watch different parts of the week. We're thankful for you guys. And so Elevate, come on, let's just welcome all those watching online with us today. You know, 7 years is an amazing, amazing thing. And any time that I believe churches get to these moments and celebrating, whether it's your first year, 5 years, 10, 15, 7, you need to celebrate well. There's a lot of stats, unfortunately, that really kind of are not good. You've heard me probably share at some point, 95% of church plants actually fail in their first year. And nearly 90% of churches in this nation don't make it past 5 years. And so the fact that we are at 7 years, to God be the glory. Amen, everybody. Yeah, so we're thankful for that. And so I just want to start off, we were going to do a video, and I thought, man, I want to kind of talk through a couple old pictures here today. Give me a little more volume, if you will, Derek. All right. So this is important, and here's why this is important, because I don't remember what it's like to have one service. And so, but there's a reminder that we did start with one service back at Northwood, 10:30 a.m. Yeah, I don't know what one service feels like. Let's keep going, though, guys. Come on, there's our original hospitality team. Come on, somebody. The boys, come on. And, hang on, go back real quick. I got to give a little shout out. That's my grandma on the left there. She turns 87. She's going to be here in third service today. I'm so excited. My stepmom as well. Yeah, go ahead. I just had to brag on the family there. All right, come on, part of the original worship team, man. We're thankful for all those guys. We're missing the right half of the stage. There was a few more of them, all right? That was the best picture they got. Go ahead. Oh, man, come on, look at check-in. Come on, kids, check in. I mean, I remember that morning. Look at Melissa. Look, Melissa's there. There's Annie over there. Man, I tell you what, it just is my mother-in-law in the back. Everybody's like, what's going on? So we had a little issues that morning at check-in, and all the new people, I remember that, like it was yesterday. Melissa was our kids pastor then. Let's go on to the next one. Come on, there's Pastor Heidi, our kids pastor. Come on. My mother-in-law, some of the kids there. And so, man, just amazing. Go ahead. Oh, man, come on, here's my girl. Man, we were so nervous that morning. I was freaking out, so was she. She was like, you want me to say something on this day? I'm like, yes, on this day. It's the first Sunday of the church. You got to say something, girl. And so, anyways, isn't she beautiful? Let me say this real quick. I'm telling you, I would not be here today if it wasn't for this woman of God. And I'm just telling you how blessed we are. And, babe, I love you so much. I honor you. I thank God for you. And she leads just with, I say it because it's something that I watch her do. But, man, she lives this out. What you see, what you get is what you get. But she leads our home with such tremendous grace. She's an amazing wife, amazing mother to our kids. And she really provides a soft place to land when I get home. And so I love you, babe, and I'm so thankful for you. Come on, the first lady. Come on, somebody, all right? She doesn't like that. Here's the next one. Yeah, that's part of the picture. Come on, first Sunday, I'll never forget it. And first Sunday there, that's the cafetorium. Come on, at Northwood Middle School. Yeah, you ever been in a cafetorium? Well, there you go, all right? And so there's just a shot of that first service that morning. I think that's it, isn't it, guys? Is that it? All right, yeah, all right, that's it, all right, so don't go ahead of me, all right, so, but anyways, man, I just want to say this today that, man, just how thankful we are, and I want to just say this, man, how much I love you guys, and how much just I'm thankful for this community of believers, and 7 years is amazing. Honestly, man, it's the incredible privilege I've had over these last 7 years is to wake up every day and give my life to God and to give my life to serve you and to serve this church. And so I love you. I love what God is doing here. I love how God is moving in the lives of people and how God is continuing to impact. One of the greatest honors I have in my life is being your pastor, and I don't take that lightly, and I certainly do not take that for granted as well. But I love this church. I love that we're about second chances. I love that we don't shoot our wounded when they're down, but we offer hope. Amen. That that we don't stand over people in judgment, but accept them, amen, how they are, and give them love and grace. I love that we won't compromise on God's convictions and his word and his values for our life, amen, but we'll lead in strength and in the honor of his word. And I love that at the end of the day, like we've already done so far today, I love that we lift the name of Jesus higher, amen. And so we're thankful for that. Well, grab your message notes this morning, and we're going to conclude our Torch series. And I hope that, you know, one of the things that's been really the backbone of this series is just helping you and I to really continue to understand what God has given us to do, the vision and the values that he's placed within this church to continue to go forward and to reach a city for the glory of God, because we believe that God has called us not to just stay where we're at, but there's more to this journey. I don't know about you, but how many are just desperate for more of God in your life? Amen? And I think we ought to always stay in a posture, in a place that we want more of God, that there should be a desperation within us, that we're never satisfied. And I think that's always been one of the things about this church, is that this is a church that's just not satisfied with where we're at. We're always thinking about how do we reach more people? How do we continue to leverage what God has given us to reach and impact more people for the glory of God? And so my prayer again, this is our sixth and final week of this series, but my prayer has just certainly just been this, is that at some point during this series, or even after this Sunday, that you are taking one step forward in your walk with Christ. And for some of us, that may be in growth track. For some, that may be getting in a small group this week. For some, that may be getting baptized. For some, it may be a decision to walk with God today. You know, can I just brag on Jesus a little bit and what he's doing? Is that okay, everybody? One of the cool stats that we have seen just in the first 3 months of our church, that what we have seen in growth track is just absolutely tremendous. We have seen almost in 3 months, listen to this, the same amount of people gone through growth track in 3 months that we did in the entire year of 2018. Yeah, so here's what that means. We're growing, and God is bringing in more new families, more new people. But here's the other cool thing about it. There's a bunch of people that are taking next steps and saying, man, I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to figure out what it is, the gift that God has given me, and I'm going to use it to go make a difference with my life. That's what that shows. And that is fruit, everybody. And so we thank God for fruit. Amen? And so I just wanted to brag on Jesus a little bit. But I saved, honestly, the mission that we have. I really saved it for today. And the mission, we have a mission statement around here. Go ahead, guys, put it up. And that it's very simple, that we exist. This is why God spoke 7 years ago to plant Elevate City Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that we exist to reach the unchurched and to awaken the spiritually restless to love God and to love people. That was our mission on day one, and it's still the mission in our seventh year that we're celebrating in Jesus' name. And here's what I want to say to that is this, that if you ever wondered, man, why did we start this church and the purpose of it, that's why. That's the mission. That's the mandate that God gave us as a responsibility to Fort Wayne, to reach the unchurched. Who are the unchurched? It's those today that do not have a relationship with God. Those that are out of church, de-church, that they're not actively pursuing God. We exist to reach the lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. And so that's our responsibility as well. And then we exist to awaken. What's that mean, awaken the spiritually restless? Well, we realize that there's a lot of people in our city that may have fallen away from God, and we exist for them as well. That maybe they've gone cold in their relationship with God, maybe they've been hurt, whatever the case may be, that they would come back into a vibrant relationship again with God. We exist for them as well. And ultimately, the responsibility to teach them to love God, teach them to love people. And so that's the why of our church, the ultimate why of why we exist and why we started. But here's the vision. Here's the vision of how we reach them. Here's the vision of how we see this come to pass. And you've heard it a lot over the last several weeks, God always had it in his heart to take people on a spiritual journey. We saw this back in Exodus chapter 6 many weeks ago, and we've been really just kind of talking about it methodically over the last few weeks, to take people on a journey of knowing God, of finding freedom, of helping people discover their purpose, and then go make a difference with their life. God's plan for you and I is never meant to be complicated. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a simple gospel. And sometimes religion and man will mess that up, but God has made it simple. And, you know, I preached at a lot of churches that in their kind of their bulletin or their worship guide, man, there's like 55 things going on. And, man, we just try to keep it real simple. I don't know if you've ever, how many have ever been to Golden Corral before? Come on. Maybe not recent. I don't know. It's like six hands that went up. Not many of you, all right? And so maybe Baskin Robbins or something like that. But, you know, what is it? Baskin Robbins has, is it 31 flavors? Yeah, 31 flavors. And then, or then you got Golden Corral, which I call it AKA the trough, all right? I mean, just, you just go. And I'm kind of a germaphobe, so I don't do buffets, you know? I got sick real bad one time off of a buffet. I won't do it again. So, but nonetheless, there's too many things going on. There's like too much going on, and it just is like crazy to me. So I consider us like a Ruth's Chris. Come on, somebody. Come on. A good old steak, good old filet. And what Ruth's does is they focus on a few things and do them well, and there's not this massive spread. And so, man, we want to focus on a few things and continue to do that well to help people know, just like even in your worship guide when Bethany was up here, we make it simple for the first-time guests just to know what it's all about. So there's not, you know, we know when you come to a place for the first time, there's questions. And so we just want to make it simple to help people know our heart and why we exist. And so here's what I would say it this way, that Sundays, the Sunday experience is where eternities are changed, all right? But lives are changed during the week in small groups. I'm going to say it again. Eternities are changed on Sunday. Lives are changed during the week. Did you get that, all right? And so we want to commit, and I encourage us as a church to commit to what God has given us to do, because this is our call. This is our responsibility. This is the mandate that God has given us in this great city, and that all of our decisions that we make are guided by the Bible first and by the mission that he's called us to. And so it's important from time to time that we share these values, that we share this mission. Why? To help those of us that may have been around here a while to continue to help keep us focused on where we're going, and then helping new families that are coming so they have an understanding of where we're going as a church together. And man, Bethany and I, we just always dreamed of a church that look like Jesus. That's been in our hearts, that a church that loves, a church that accepts people unconditionally, that continues to serve, that continues to reach out, and a church that likes to have some fun. Come on, somebody. And we need to laugh. Laughter's medicine, and so we think it's important. And you heard Pastor Kyle last week talked on the message of just enjoying life. Life is not meant to be endured. It's meant to be enjoyed, and God wants you to enjoy it. Daniel 6:3, it's a verse that we've talked about a lot throughout this series. It says, Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And we've learned so much just from this verse that Daniel was in a place where he stood out amongst the rest, because he was in a place that he was embracing qualities and characteristics and values that were not popular in his day. He chose to stand out amongst the rest. And because of that, he produced a spirit of excellence that got him noticed because of his faithfulness. Something my pastor always used to tell me, he said, Kyle, faithfulness always has a future. Faithfulness always gets rewarded. And that's a big part of Daniel and his life as well, that there were values that he embraced. And the same is for us as a church, that there's values and there's principles that we're embracing to continue to build a culture that's healthy and strong. And there's a few simple things, again, that we just zero in and focus on. And so I just want to spend a few minutes talking about really just the last part of this series, that we exist for others. We are a church that started day one, and there's pictures existing for others, and we still do today, because it's easy in a culture like this to just focus on me, myself, and I. You see a lot of selfishness in the culture. You got the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod. Notice all of it's about I. You know what I mean? It's just funny how that's all played out, but I love my iPhone, and I thank God for it, all right? But here's what I know. There's this gravitational pull. There's a gravitational pull, if we're not careful, to make this all about us. And Elevate City does not exist just for us, but we exist for others. We are a place that, because heaven and hell are realities, we have a responsibility and a job to exist for those that are not yet here. We read a scripture weeks ago that where we were reminded that we must grow up from elementary things. Actually, the Message Bible said, grow up from finger painting exercises. I don't know if you remember that a few weeks ago, and it literally went on to say, and to grow up in Christ, that yes, there's a time when you come into a relationship with God that you are a spiritual consumer because you've got to grow, you've got to learn. But then there comes a time that you go from a place of infancy to a place of growth, that you're taking next steps in your life and you move forward in the gift of call and the call of God on your life. Amen? And so that's where we should be, in a place that we're growing. We should be in a place where we're taking the next steps in our life. And so the church doesn't exist for us. We are the church and we exist for the world. Amen? And so I believe this, that if we really buy into this, then we don't care what flavor the coffee is on Sunday. Come on, somebody. All right, that if we really care about this and we don't care if a guest takes our seat, come on, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we have to wait in the parking lot to find a place. Why? Because other people matter and getting them in here. And so I believe this church, that we must continue to exist for others. Can you say a good amen today? James chapter 1 and verse 27. I want to give you a few things today. I want to give you a couple just kind of fundamental truths that I think is real important to us as a local church, and then give you a couple other things as we end today that I think is so important for our future and as we continue to go forward. James chapter 1, 27 says, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out. Everybody shout, reach out.
Reach out.
Reach out to the homeless and to the loveless in their plight. The loveless, reach out to those that, man, don't know this love. What's plight mean? It just really means difficulty. Reach out to them in the midst of their challenges and the midst of their difficulties. That we are called to be a church, man, that looks and feels like Jesus, and we've got to continue to be mission-minded to realize that we've got to reach out, and we've got to continue to move beyond these four walls constantly. And so church is all about reaching other people. It's why God sent his son Jesus to die for the world, amen? And so, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so, I'm so thankful for that. And so, here's what I know. Jot this first one down today, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Say that with me. Everybody say, we are blessed, to be a blessing. Some would argue that, man, I don't have much. I don't feel like I'm blessed. Listen, if you're breathing, if you're walking, and you're living in America, you are blessed. Yeah, you're blessed. I remember some time ago that, you know, I've traveled different nations, and it always continues to just make me so thankful of God's, you know, incredible love and who he is, and been in nations of poverty and seen some of the worst of the worst in third world countries and watched God just do incredible things in ministry. But also it caused me, when I was in Africa, when I was in India, when I was in Brazil and some other nations, it always caused me, as I would go and visit and minister to different villages and different churches and different people, and it caused me to continue to remind me how blessed we are in this nation. And I'll never forget being in Uganda, Africa, when I was there, and never forget seeing children who were on the street who had nothing, who had just shags for clothes, and who were extremely dirty and malnourished, and, man, broke my heart. I'll never forget a couple of those children. It was just giving them a cup of water. Just think about all the bottled waters that you and I drink, and they're just sipping out of the cap, and it's a good day for them. And I think about, man, all that God has blessed us with. Trust me, you and I are living in a very blessed time and a very grace-filled time. And I'm so thankful for this nation called America. I've been back from some of those trips. I remember one of those trips, I literally, man, kissed the ground saying, God, thank you for your blessing. And that we never take that for granted. Amen, everybody. The clothes that are on your back, come on, the food in your belly today, the roof over your head, you and I ought to thank God for all of that and never take those things for granted, because there's millions of people across the world that don't have the wonderful privileges that we do. And the Bible says this in Genesis 12, 2. It says that I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. Here's the other thing, the second thing that I know, just a fundamental truth, is that when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. Man, we see this played out a lot around here. We've seen this happen in our church as we've given to others that God is so faithful in 7 years to continue to take care of this work and ministry. Why? Because it's not built on man. It's built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and who he is. And I'm just telling you, man, as long as we keep it all about Jesus, man, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit to where we can go and how much we can dream. Amen. And so I just know this for us in our church, that we'd rather do more for other people than we would for ourselves. I wanted to read a couple just testimonies, and some of these are sent in from time to time to us, and so you don't get to see or hear some of these, but man, I wish I could read all of them to you today, but there's at least a few I thought that was worth reading to you today, and just talking about how God is using this church to impact people right here in our city and those that are now a part of our church. This person wrote and said, "When I first moved to Fort Wayne, I felt so broken. I felt as if I was torn away from my family, my friends, and my job. I felt alone. It was just my husband and I living here in this city, and I wanted more than anything just to go back home. But over these last few months, my eyes have really opened, and I feel like I finally found my purpose." Listen to this. "We attended Elevate City Church for the first time and decided that we would go back that next weekend, but that next weekend was a game changer. A couple from the church had invited us out to lunch and helped us get plugged in," look at this, "to two different small groups. Everything we have experienced at Elevate City, such as freedom, our small groups, going through growth track, has helped us become stronger people. Being able to dig deeper into our relationship with Jesus has helped us find the self-worth and purpose that we've always wanted. We've made so many wonderful friends since coming to Elevate City, and these friendships have not been normal." I like that. I think that's cool. They've been true life-giving, encouraging relationships. People who love us, support us, friends who want to do life with us. "When I moved out here, I thought my life was being ruined. It was truly a blessing in disguise." She goes on to say that, "I've come to love this city and the people in it so much. After opening my eyes, I've realized that I truly am home and believe this is where I've belonged all along." Another person said, she said, I'm constantly reminded how different our life has been since we first came to Elevate City nearly a year ago. She said, "Most days when we get invited to events, get text messages, phone calls, checking in on us, weekly conversations and connections," she said, "we just want to pinch ourselves to see if it's real. We have such real, amazing friends that sometimes it's hard to believe." But she said, "I am convinced, due to these wonderful people in our life, that our future is looking pretty bright. Anyway, love you all so much. Thank you for being such a blessing to us and doing life along with us in this journey." Another person just wrote in simply that God has used Elevate City to breathe fresh life back into my life and to chase after God, and now I'm growing again. This church has taught me that I am a child of the King. Another person said, "Elevate City has brought love and care and support, which equals family." I love that. "Through the death of my son, they have been there for me. After he passed away, I wanted to end my life too. If it wasn't for this church, I would not be here today. Elevate City Church is family to me." I just love that. I think that's awesome. And let me just say this, because here's what I know. You're up here, and not everybody may be able to see this, but there's a bunch of just prayer cards that are up here. And this is just from the last couple Sundays, by the way. This isn't, you know, we didn't take like the last 2 months. I'm literally just the last probably two Sundays or so. And I told our team, I said, "I just want to put these up here just for a point of contact today, because this is also why we exist. Because there's a lot of needs of a lot of people that's written down every week. Marriages that need restored. Families that need restored. Come on, children to come back to God. Siblings to have unity again. Come on, whether it's addictions or people need healing in their body. People are believing for miracles. People are believing for a move of God. And it's one of the greatest honors that we have to come in agreement with hundreds and hundreds of people every single weekend and believing for them not only just to take next steps, but man, that they have an encounter with God and move forward in his purpose and healing. And we're believing for healing, restoration, brokenness to be restored again in the name of Jesus. This is why we exist. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that fires me up more. You know, I remember somebody said a few weeks ago, "Man, that's a lot to pray for, Pastor." We had one of the other Sundays ago. And I said, "But you know what?" I said, "What an opportunity for God to move." And we're seeing God answer prayer. We serve a God who answers prayer. And that's why we tell people, man, write them down, because every week, not just on Sunday mornings, and that's why we take our time. Listen, can I just tell you, one of my favorite times on Sunday is being with you, but being at 8 a.m. prayer. Because we're praying over every seat, and it's not just emotion for me, because I realize there's people that's going to be sitting in all these seats, and there's prayer requests that you are believing God for a miracle, and you need the power of agreement. And so it's our great honor to do that, and so we take this seriously. So I just wanted this just to be just a point of contact for you to see that I'm telling you, man, this is part of why we exist. This is bigger than us, and God needs us to be strong and healthy as a church to continue to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen? And so here's what I know. Any time that we've been in need as a church, God has always moved for us. And that's why we don't ask you for anything. And we're not going to start. We've never asked you for anything from day one, because here's what we've just learned, that if you and I are faithful to do our part, God is faithful to do his part. Here's just a couple scriptures that show just God's faithfulness. Luke 18, Jesus said, I guarantee this. Anyone, look at this, there's a guarantee. So if God guarantees it, you better pay attention to what he's saying. Anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in this life. And will receive eternal life in the next world to come. Look at chapter 6, same book, verse 38. Jesus said, give your life away and you'll find your life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Come on. I'm so glad, and I'm just encouraging you, if you haven't experienced the fullness of life and maybe you've just kind of found yourself going through the motions, man, it's time to take a next step. It's time to move beyond where you're at and move into the place that God has for you. Figure out what your gift is and go use that for the glory of God. And when we bless each other, man, when we bless others, God brings it back, because the motivation for our heart is not giving to get, it's giving to give. That God finds us to be faithful, not just in some things, but be faithful in everything. And yeah, it's tough sometimes, but that's why you have the Holy Spirit. That's why his power, we learned so much of that. Took an entire month of January. Maybe it might be a series you need to go listen to again. That's all we spent time on, was talking about the Holy Spirit. Here's the other thing I know, the last part of this is that the more God blesses us, look at this, the more he expects us to help others. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12 that much is required from those to whom much is given. Look at this. For the responsibility is greater. So here's the pull. The pull is just to coast. The pull is just to get comfortable. The pull is just to say, man, people are coming. Those are great stats. Pastor Kyle, man, growth track 3 months, equivalent to the 2018. Man, that's pretty cool. We should probably relax a little bit. But here's what I know, is God blesses us. Man, here's the deal. He expects us to continue to help more people. God demands for his church to grow. And so that pull, we've got to be careful with, because the truth is, the more that God blesses us, the more that he requires of us. And that's why we have big vision around here. Big vision. Everybody say big vision. Big vision. Dan Sparling, come on up here. Y'all give a hand for Dan Sparling this morning. Come on. My man, I want to say this before I let Dan share a couple things. We've got some big news that we're going to share with you today, and this guy's going to break the news to you. I'm going to step back and let him break the news to you, because it's pretty powerful and it's pretty awesome what God's doing. You've heard a lot over the last, man, several years of this church, of a lot of just vision and things and where we're going and what we're believing God for. Dan helps lead our serve and our outreach, and has over the last few years. I'm telling you, this man of God's heart and our relationship, our friendship, has not only continued to grow, but man, it's amazing when you connect into a purpose and when you connect into a vision, man, just to watch how not only our relationship has grown, but man, the vision grows. And I remember when he just started, but to see where he's at now too is amazing. And this guy has been working his tail off. And because there's a dream that we've talked about for years, haven't we, Dan? Yes. That he's going to share a couple things with you. And I just want to give a big shout out to his wife, Lydia, who's always faithful. She's helping back in the booth. Yeah, you can give her a hand. Because here's the deal. What he's getting ready to share with you is taking a ton of hours. And this guy already works full time. But because he believes in a dream, and because he wants to see this become a reality as well, man, with the permission of his wife, man, she has supported and been there with him in this journey. And this couple is just incredible. But without further ado, man, I just want you to take that time, share with them what's happening and what they can expect. Come on.
All right. So In November 2016, I took my first trip to the LA Dream Center. And on that trip, God put a dream in my heart that one day Fort Wayne would have a Dream Center. And we are closer today than we ever have been. So I just want to share with you where we're at and where God is taking us. Next Sunday, we are going to start our bus ministry. We're going to be going down to the rescue mission and a couple other shelters in Fort Wayne and busing people to church on Sundays. I have a great opportunity to be able to speak at the rescue mission this week to invite people to come to church and tell them how much Elevate City loves them.
Amen.
So I'm just asking you guys, be ready for it next week, because I believe people will come here.
Absolutely.
Who've never experienced the kind of relationships that they can have here.
Amen. Amen.
Second thing that's happening is in April, we're going to file our paperwork officially to establish the Dream Center Fort Wayne.
Yeah!
We have our board of directors. We're having our first board meeting in April. We're going to file our paperwork. We are going to have a Dream Center in Fort Wayne as of April
2019. Come on.
In July of this year, we're going to start a fundraising campaign. And we're just asking you, just be in prayer with us. Be in prayer that God will give us more than we need. We have a need in our mind and we say, this is what we have. But I know that God is in control of everything. So just pray with us that God will supply all of our needs. In January 2020, we are going to have our very first launch of serving through the Dream Center. Our third Saturday serve will be the first official outreach of the Dream Center Fort Wayne.
It's awesome.
And we're going to reach this city for Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
In July of 2020, we're hoping to have an established location for the Dream Center.
Amen.
And lastly, in July 2021, we want to officially open an addiction program. This is what I believe. I believe there are people in Fort Wayne who are not being reached right now today, and they're going to a Christless eternity.
Yeah.
And we want to change that. We want to turn that around. So we're asking you to be in prayer for us. I have a scripture here, and this is out of Matthew 25. It says, "Then those sheep are going to say to the master," what are you talking about? When did you ever see the hungry and feed them? When did we see somebody who was thirsty and give them a drink? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then the king will say, "I'm telling you the truth. Whenever you did one of these to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." And we believe, like I said, there are people right now in this city who aren't being reached, and that those are the people that we're going to go reach for Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me say a couple things just to add on with Dan. That first off, and we are and have been coming under the covering of the Los Angeles Dream Center. So for some of you, you're going on that trip in November, and we're sending teams out to the Dream Center. We've been doing that for this, preparing for the Fort Wayne Dream Center that we've been dreaming so much about, and that's going to become a reality. And so, Pastor Matthew Barnett, Pastor Tommy, but we're actually working on having Pastor Tommy Barnett come in this fall. It's going to be incredible. And but man, these guys are mentors, but they're covering. We're within their network. And so Dan has been learning, and our team. There's others that are here and in other services that have been helping him. And so they're going to be pursuing some grants this summer, organizations. And I think the cool thing of what's happening is God is already networking relationships with our church, businessmen, business women, to just reach out and to help see this become a reality. So we're believing for that first location, whether it's a storefront, we don't know yet, to begin to operate out of in next year. But then also the big dream is that we have two homes, one that's going to house some women and one that's going to house some men that are going through the rehabilitation process of coming off those major addictions, and that we can have a few staff that's hired. That's part of raising the funds for that when that happens. And so I just want you to know there's no pressure on us as a church at all. This is things that we're working on really outside of the church. And so we need prayer and just be led. But all we're asking for is just prayer and to support what Dan is already helping to lead with this initiative, and again, such great team members that are with him. And so, y'all, we're going to reach Fort Wayne, huh? Whatever it takes. And we're not just going to talk about it. And then our other campus, we're going to have some news on this in the coming months, and there will be news. Working diligently as well on our downtown campus that we will be launching, and we will keep that posted. But things are happening because God is at the center of it all. Favor, influence happens when you do it God's way and you take care of His people. And I'm just telling you, He expects us, as the more God blesses us, the more He expects us to bless others. We got a responsibility. Amen, everybody. I just want to pray over you, bro. Yeah. I just really felt to do that today. Anything else you want to say?
I just want to thank everybody in this church for supporting us and continuing to support us and just continue to pray over us.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, just join me in prayer if you would today. Father, we just thank you today, God, for just the news of launching the Dream Center. God, I remember 7 years ago when we started this church that, God, this was just a dream. We had talked about it, but God, you're using Dan and the team, God, to now move this forward in ways that we could never comprehend because of your wisdom, your strategy, and what you're giving to them. We thank you for divine relationships. We thank you for supernatural favor that's going to continue to come on this. We thank you that the finances will come in as well in the name of Jesus, because, God, this is all about reaching more people. This is about bringing people in, Lord, that's in darkness into light, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And so we declare together as a church that this will become a reality, that, God, this is not going to be hard, but you're going to give us such favor that this walk is going to be smooth. And so, God, give Dan wisdom. Give him direction. I speak blessing over he and Lydia and Isaac. I thank you, God, for their commitment to you. I thank you for their family, Lord, in Jesus' name, for great grace to cover them. And we expect, God, the best to come, God, over this work, over this ministry of the Dream Center. And so, Lord, as a church, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us, and we go forward with it in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. And this is all about the call to reach those that nobody else is even reaching, and to dream. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it says this: if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. I'm telling you, for some of you, you've got a dream in your heart. You've got a gift in your life. What are you waiting for? Don't wait for perfect conditions, because if you do, you'll never get anything done. You just have to move in that faith, and man, that's what's happening. And so honestly, it's become such a conviction in our life, and we just want to follow the marching orders that Jesus has given us. Colossians 1 says this. I'm going to move quick here. We continue to preach Christ to each person, using all wisdom to warn and teach everyone in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature person in Christ. To do this, I work and struggle using all Christ's great strength that works so powerfully in me. I want to give you the last few things today that I think the local church must do. And I believe here's what we believe. We believe the local church is the hope of the world. That Jesus is moving through his church, his body of believers, you and me. And so number one, if we're going to help to focus on others, we've got to reach them. Everybody shout, reach them. Jesus said it best. I'm just going to summarize this verse in Matthew 9:37. He said, hey, church, he's talking to you and I in this verse. He said, hey, the field is white for harvest. In other words, there's thousands upon thousands of people that need reached. But the problem is the laborers are few. Jesus is saying, man, I got to have people that rise up in their gift and use them that aren't. You've heard it so much in this series about not sitting on the sideline, but getting involved, getting in the process and what God is doing in this journey, making the commitment that I'm going to go on a journey with God. I'm going to figure out what my gift is. I'm going to get in Growth Track, and I'm going to do it. I encourage you. Growth Track is the first 3 Sundays of the month always. And I want to encourage you. You need to figure out your gift. And if not, you're just going to continue to go from place to place. Listen, the Christian life for you is never going to make sense until you discover and find what your gift, your purpose is. And so for some, it's just like we do Sundays, and then the rest of the week can be really crazy. But God is saying, if you'll dive in and you'll go all in. And so Jesus is saying, it's not a harvest problem, church. It's a labor problem. I need more people that's going to rise up and find out what their gift is and go use it for the glory of God. It's why we've got to preach Christ and not condemnation. Come on, somebody. That I believe if we really embrace a ministry that looks like Jesus, can I give you a secret? That sinners will be drawn to us and the religious will mock us. In fact, I think it's already happening. You know, I think it's happening. People will say you're crazy. People will say we're a cult. I've heard that before. or you're nuts for loving God the way you do. You're nuts for being so faithful to your church and wearing some t-shirt and some wristband. You're crazy. What are you doing with your life? But imagine this, church, people being excited and passionate about the God they serve and being a part of the local church, a movement in the world today. Imagine. Come on, somebody. Amen? And it's the truth, though. The religious ones in Jesus' day were mocked him. The religious ones hated Jesus, but it was the unbelievers who were drawn to him. And I'm convinced that's the purpose. That's the purpose is why he established the local church, that we would look and feel like Jesus, that we dreamed of a church where people would come and can come as they are, and that they could come in and feel comfortable and encounter Jesus Christ. We dreamed of a place even where if somebody comes in and they may not agree with everything we say, but they say, man, I kind of like the feel of this place. The people seem pretty chill. I like them. Can I just hang around here and try to figure this out and ask some questions? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, yes, yes. All right, and we've had that, and we're having that, and I love that about our church. And you know, I remember when we first started Elevate City, I remember being in the coffee shop at Starbucks on East State Street. Bethany will tell you, every day, we didn't know anybody here. Freaked me out, but I was the weird guy that was at Starbucks on East State Street. Bethany at that time was my sugar mama. I'm trying to, you know, help start this church, and she's working, so she's believing in the dream with me. And there I was at Starbucks, man. I was the weird guy asking to just buy you a cup of coffee and give me 10 minutes of your time so I can ask you to help me start this church. Can't tell you how many no's I got. Can't tell you how many free coffees I gave and nobody followed through. But I can tell you there were a few that said yes. There were a few that said, I think this is crazy. Because I remember several of them saying to me, I don't like Christians. I don't like them. And I remember saying back to several of them, I don't either. That's why we're starting a church. And they did exactly that. Wait, what? You know, I knew I had their attention then. And then we just began to talk because we wanted a church that reached unchurched people, that's the focus. The focus isn't on me, myself, and I. The focus is on, man, how can we continue to reach lost people that don't know him? How can we reach your family? How can we reach your friends? And I believe God is longing for us to be focused on his lost kids. And I believe if we forfeit this call, then we will be completely off mission. We have to continue to realize we exist for others. Luke 14, Jesus said, go out in the country, urge anyone you find to come in so that my house may be full. Can I tell you that's why Jesus likes a party? He likes his house full. Ain't nothing like a party when the house is full. Come on, somebody. Amen. Second thing is we got to do is we got to warn them. Warn them because some would say, well, what do we do about their sin? And here's my response, is we continue to show them the love of Jesus and point them to him. That's what we do. That's what we do. Because here's what I refuse to do. I refuse to get up here on this stage and to yell and scream at people and tell them how horrible they are. Or try to convince them that their life is a mess. We give Jesus away every weekend. That's who we are. Our job is to love. God's job is to judge. And third, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, not mine, not yours. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching right there. Amen. We need to remember that. The Bible says in Romans 2:4 that it's, look at this, it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Why do we give ice cream away a lot in the summer? Or why do we give coffee away and we do all kinds of free stuff and just give stuff away? Because it's the kindness of God. Why are we going to do a massive back-to-school bash in August and we're going to reach a ton of people in our inner city? Because it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Come on, church. Are you with me? Picking them up on the bus. Getting these buses moving. Come on. It's happening. We've got multiple buses that are going to be used. I'm excited about what's happening. And here's what I know, and as we do that, we earn the right to speak into the lives of people. And we've learned this, that people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so we have our system of small groups that's in motion, real people with real issues. And you need to realize, as we continue to grow as a church and you're growing in your faith, you will always need people. You will always need relationships encouraging your walk going forward. I believe this. Let me say it this way. In order to really thrive in your life, You must surround yourself with people that are speaking to the potential of your future, not the pain of your past. You need people that are going to be with you in this and speak towards, man, this is what's in front of you, and God's going to use whatever has happened, man, to propel you forward. James 5:16, such a powerful principle that we've talked so much about as well, to confess our sins, our trespasses to one another, and then to pray for one another so that healing can come. It's the power of relationships and small groups and not doing life alone. Third thing is we got to teach them. We got to reach them. We got to warn them. And then we got to teach them. That's why we have Growth Track. You've heard me talk about that. Small groups, the importance of being discipled through the week. Ephesians 4, God gave some to be pastors to prepare God's people. It's part of my job, part of my responsibility to prepare you for the works of service or the work of the ministry in another version so that the body of Christ may be built up. A lot of people think, well, it's the preacher's job to do that. No, it's not. My job's to help equip us, but I'm a part of this thing with us, obviously. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. I just believe our lives will radically change when we find our sweet spot, when we find what it is that our gift is in our life and get equipped and serve, because fulfillment comes in your life when you live beyond yourself. It really does. Here's the fourth and final thing. Come on up, Jeffy. Is help. We've got to help them, help people reach their full potential. It's one of our great callings to help them find their place on the dream team, help find their place in the journey, make an impact. And here's what I know. We're better with you on the team, but I also think you're better when you're on the team too, because you're realizing and you're choosing not to do this life by yourself. I would say this, sir, ma'am, with everything within me, my heart, and I would say, as you heard me earlier, what's stopping you from being a contributor? What's holding you back from pursuing the gift that God has placed within you? If it's fear, if it's hurt, if it's something that you faced, I'm telling you, today's the day to surrender everything and say, you know what, God, I'm ready for you to be God in my life, and I'm ready to be used by you. I'm ready to be used by you. I want to go where you send me. For some of you, you may have heard that vision today of the dream center. You think, man, that's me. Some of you may have come out of some things, and you need to talk to Dan before you leave and say, I don't know what it is, Dan, that I can help, but I just know I'm supposed to be a part of that ministry as that gets going. I don't know. For somebody else, you're in a place that you need to just get activated, and you need to allow purpose to come alive in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, and then we're going to pray. Love this verse. Read it a few weeks ago to you. Wanted to end with it today. It says, we are God's masterpiece. Everybody say, I'm an original. God makes no mistakes. Contrary to what you may have heard or a parent may have said to you when you were younger, you are not a mistake. You were built with a design and a purpose. God decided when you would live, the time in which you would live, your parents, and what you would do and look like, all those things. And he did all those things on purpose because he had something that he wanted to accomplish through you. Because you have incredible value to him, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Here's what God is saying, that I've got a job that I need done, and I've created you to help solve that problem. But you've got to find out what that is if you don't know, and go live out your gift and make a difference with your life. I encourage you to make that step in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. Would you bow your head where you're at? I want to pray for us. I just know the happiest people, man, are those that are making a difference with their life. It's how God designed us. You are a vital part of God's plan. And so, Lord, today I'm just asking, and we thank you. We thank you for our mission, God, as a church. We thank you for the vision that you've given us here at Elevate City in 7 years. It's just been absolutely incredible. And we give you all the glory and all the credit. And I'm asking you, God, that you would continue to set in our heart, in our spirit, God, that we will continue to be a people focused on others. And reaching other people for the glory of God is our highest call, to reach people that don't know you. And so, Father, today I'm asking you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would awaken us, that you would awaken calls, God, awaken us to make decisions in our life to move one step forward in Jesus' name. Not called any of us to just sit on the sideline, but God, I just thank you for a church that's on mission in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, I just want to give you an opportunity before you leave. For somebody, this may be your moment, that your next step is right here and saying, I surrender my life to God. Maybe you've been trying to control your life and doing things how you want, but you're realizing today, man, I have got to involve God in my life and I need him to be the center of my life. Can I just encourage you, give your life completely to him today. He loves you. He's for you. On the count of three, if that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, man, Kyle, that's me. I want to give my life to God. I want to have that relationship with him. On the count of three, come on, one, two, three. All of this place, say, man, that's me. Anybody at all that says, that's me, that's me, that's me. Amen, amen. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And I just want you to pray this with everything within you and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.